So what does the Holy Spirit allowed you to do as if, and the opposite to that is, imagine if you had not met the Holy Spirit. So because you met the Holy Spirit, what has He allowed you to do? Okay. So Catherine and Joseph probably would say, well, if I hadn't met the Holy Spirit, I probably would never have done youth mission team. Is that what you said? Is that what you said, you guys? Is that what you said? What? What did you say, Joe? So because you met the Holy Spirit, you have... Okay, I wouldn't be here. Fair enough. Good. All right. Any other answers from the back row? Angela, were you going to say something? Oh, that's a big one. If Angela hadn't met the Holy Spirit, she probably wouldn't have kept up her faith, right? Okay, what about from this side? Anybody? Ah, Monica reckons if she hadn't met the Holy Spirit, she probably wouldn't be married, let alone to Mark. That's right, probably. Right? That's much lower. That's right, if she was married at all. That's right. Any other ones over here? Because you have the Holy Spirit, right? Radis, what is that around your leg? Hanky. Father John hanky. You wouldn't be wearing a Father John hanky if you didn't know the Holy Spirit. Completely different. And I think that's probably a fair enough statement to make, because you know that 3 out of every 4 marriages in Australia now, the statistics are getting very close to 3 out of 4 marriages are breaking down. So for those of us who are married in the community, right, we could actually say perhaps that the Holy Spirit is keeping us together. Maybe. Any other thoughts? Sean? So in other words, the Holy Spirit is stopping road rage occurring in Sean's life. Well done, Sean. Well done. Genevieve? Amazing. Yeah. I think when Chris was leading us this afternoon, he said something like to be really breathe in the Spirit of God and feel His peace, something along those lines. But I don't know that you can actually have peace if you don't know joy. I'm not sure. I wonder if the two go hand in hand. I've been reflecting on that during the week. I'm actually catching up on my Advent prayer study because I didn't quite finish it during Advent. And one of the readings in it talked about how Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But when Jesus comes, He fills our hearts with joy, and through joy we can discover peace. And so I thought I've been really reflecting on the two, joy and peace. With that in mind, Central Gathering watched this video last week, and we were encouraged to watch it. I'm not sure if anybody's heard of The Wild Goose, right? There's a series. Oh, sorry, Jane. Did you? Okay. So it would be worth maybe checking them out. I'm hoping this isn't the same one that you used. But let's have a look at this, because I think it's really profound in regards to what we have received in being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's see how Josh goes here.
Thank you. I was initially baptized in the Holy Spirit in a way that perhaps a lot of people haven't been. And my baptism in the Holy Spirit actually took place on 9/11.
I remember the first time, I think the first time I ever experienced the presence of God was at a family retreat that I was on. I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, and we were actually at a campfire. And there's something about fires that just kind of capture your imagination. You can just sit and look at it. And as a child, that's especially the case. I remember looking at the campfire and it was popping and the embers were flying up into the sky, and it was late at night. It was dark, it was pitch dark, and the stars were out. And I would watch the embers go up into the sky, and they would get lost in the stars. And is for a little 5-year-old kid, this was just, I don't know, I was just awed by the size, the immensity of the stars and the universe and all of that. And I remember that night, in the midst of that, the world seemed so big and I seemed so small. But the coolest thing was that at that moment, I knew that God was real. I knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that in the moment of the fire and the stars and the sky and the universe, God's spirit came upon this little 5-year-old kid. And I knew that God was real. I knew that Jesus was real. I knew the stories that I'd heard as a kid were real all around this campfire. So campfires remind me of things like that. But campfires also remind me of the scriptures. It's beautiful when you take a look at the third, I think it's the third chapter of Matthew. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who comes after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. I remember the first time I was asked whether or not I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I decided to take a year off of college to kind of figure out my vocation, whether or not God wanted me to be a priest. So I spent a year with the National Evangelization Teams. They were stationed in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I remember my mom had taken me to the center. She was from Minnesota. So my mom had dropped me off at the Net Center. And right before I got out of the car, she says to me, she says, "You know, Dave, this group might be charismatic." And I said to her, "Well, I mean, charismatic? Am I charismatic? I was a faithful Catholic. I was serious about my faith." And she said, "Well, yeah, you would be considered, but these people are probably going to be different." Was she ever right? Well, I remember I get settled at the center, and somebody says to me, "We're going to have a prayer meeting tonight. Would you be interested in coming?" I said, "Yeah, sure, that'd be great." So it was fantastic. There was about 100 people, about my age, and they were praying. They were singing a song. There was just really something cool and life-giving about that many young people my age just praying and singing the song. It was really fantastic. But the only problem was when the song ended, they kept on singing. And they were saying things that I didn't know and saying things that I couldn't understand. This one guy next to me was screaming, just shouting the name of Jesus and shouting all kinds of praise of God. And I'd never seen anything like this. I mean, where I grew up, when the song was over, you were quiet. And these people just kept on hollering and screaming and yelling about how much they love God, and this was just really, really strange to me. I just didn't know what to do. And some of them were praying, and I couldn't understand what they were saying, and it was just really, really strange, really odd. And well, the next day I must have looked like I didn't quite fit in, like I was uncomfortable. So this guy comes up to me and he says to me, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" And I didn't exactly know what that meant. I'd never been asked that question before. And I said, "Well, yeah, I mean, I was baptized as a baby." He goes, No, "When were you baptized in the Holy Spirit?" And I didn't know what he meant. So I guess I said, "I don't know. I guess not." And he goes, "Well, I want to pray with you." He goes, "I want to place my hands on you and I want to pray with you." It's like, "You're not touching me." This guy was too serious about this. Well, it was something interesting because I'd never really heard the term of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I had this understanding that there was something different the way they prayed. They were more alive than I think I was or what I experienced. And so I began to ask some of the people who were there, I began to ask them about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. What I came to understand that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is actually one of the few things that's mentioned in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all mention and speak of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says that Jesus came to baptize us. As I read, John the Baptist was saying, Jesus came to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and in fire. The Acts of the Apostles, first chapter, "Go to Jerusalem, wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit." but it was foreign to me. I didn't understand it. And the way they were praying, they began to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of prophecy and the gifts of healing, the gift of tongues, the gift of words of knowledge, all of that. None of that was familiar to me. And yet they showed me in the scripture many, many places where it was in the scripture, which in one sense confused me because I was familiar with the Bible. Why hadn't I read and thought and heard about this? But I just didn't know what to make of it. And every time I saw this guy, he goes, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I said, all right, you're not touching me. Just settle down there, Sparky. Well, I knew instinctively that there was something about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that made these people different. People my age, the way they spoke of Jesus, the way they spoke of faith, it was different than what I did. Well, I remember it was late one evening. I was in a small chapel. The carpet looked like it came from the 70s. It was this yellow shag rug. And there was only one other person in the chapel. There weren't any chairs in the chapel. And I was in the back right-hand corner. There was somebody in the left. And there was the picture of Jesus that was famous back then. I call it Jesus' senior picture or racquetball Jesus, that kind of Jesus with the flowing hair, huh? There was just one light in the chapel. It was just a votive light. And it was just... it was quiet, it was peaceful, it was prayerful, and in the chapel I just found myself, I was just really pouring my heart out to the Lord, and pouring my heart out to Him, and praying, and I remember saying, you know, Lord, I just don't understand this. I don't understand what's going on, and how they're different than I am, and I don't understand what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was, and I don't understand this whole charismatic, what that's all about. I was just really honestly just praying, and there was an authentic prayer that was really coming from my heart. And I remember I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but if you want this for me, then I want it. My life has never been the same since that moment. That I experienced the presence of God, that God came upon me and I felt His presence. God was personal. God wasn't just this some distant God that I had heard about. God was terribly, intimately personal. I felt His presence come upon me. I felt like I was being enveloped by God's presence. So I felt His love, and His love was, again, it was personal. It wasn't just He loved the world, but that He loved me, and there was this peace and this presence that changed me forever. From that moment, I can say that I've never been the same from that. At that moment, I began to just pray quietly, and I was just saying, Lord, I love you. And then I began to pray in the Spirit. I prayed in tongues, and I didn't exactly understand what that was, and it kind of freaked me out. But I understand now. In Romans 8, it says that in our weakness, we pray in utterances that we don't understand, and the Spirit prays through us. And that's exactly what happened to me. Nobody had to teach me about it or explain it to me. It's just the presence of God was upon me, and I was different. I mean, Everything was different in my spiritual life. Like the next day when I was reading the scriptures, they came alive. I would read scriptures that I'd read before and they came alive. For God so loved the world that He sent His only... that made sense to me, huh? That we are children of God. That made sense to me. John 6 and the blessed and the Eucharistic text. It just... the scriptures came alive in a way that never had before. And again, I was faithful. I was an active Catholic, and it was just different, huh? I remember a couple of days after this event, I found this guy again, and I said to him, I said, you know, if you want to pray for me for baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm open to that now. And he's like, what do you mean? He goes, it happened. It happened to you. He goes, I don't know when, but I can tell that you're different. God has done a great thing in your life, and you're different.
You know, I started learning about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that, you know, John the Baptist said, the one after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. I was like, I want some of that, you know, and... so one day, I remember it so vividly, I heard about Father Michael Scanlon's book, Let the Fire Fall. I went into the library and started reading it, and I read through that thing in about 4 hours. And by the time I got to the end of it, I was so pumped up to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was like, something in my spirit was like yearning for this baptism, this fire that I know I started to see in people's lives, and I was like, I want that. And it was a Saturday night, there's no praise and worship going on. All of a sudden I get a text from one of my bros, and he's like, dude, praise and worship tonight, come. I was like, I'm there. Father just starts going down the line, praying over people. Boom, 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 boom. I'm at the end. I'm like, dude, I'm about to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, this is awesome. And everyone's on the floor, and I get prayed over, and nothing happens. So I'm standing there like this. I like, you know, open my eyes, and like everyone's just like on the floor, resting in the Spirit. And I'm like, what the heck, God? Like, this was the moment. And I went and sat in this chair in the back, like pouting, you know, like, this was my time to receive this, you know. And I'm sitting there, there's worship going on. Father's done praying over everyone. And he just randomly says, is there anyone tonight who wants to receive baptism in the Holy Spirit and gift of tongues? And I was like, poof. You know, I just shot my hand up and I went straight up there. And I was just like, bring it, Lord. And I just got prayed over and I rested. It wasn't anything crazy, but I got up and he's like, do you want the gift of tongues? I was like, yes. And he just, you know, released it into my life. And I went into the most insane tongues, and I had never, you know, really seen anyone go into them before. And I felt in my spirit the most insane release of grace, joy, peace, happiness that I've ever experienced in my life. I was just on fire. Like, after that moment, that night, everything just kind of shifted. And I believe it's because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I'm still living out my faith today.
So Paul says in Romans 7, why do I do the things I don't want to do and I can't do the things I want to do? That was my story. And I experienced in the baptism of the Holy Spirit a power to actually to do the things that I wanted to do and not to do the things. I mean, there are sins that I committed that I just don't do anymore. And the way I speak and the way I act has been changed because of this baptism in the Holy Spirit. I think back and my brother was talking to my father one day after this experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit. And my brother said to my dad, Dave's finally the person he's always wanted to be. And that's so profound because it's absolutely the case. I mean, my brother could see this. That after experiencing this baptism of the Holy Spirit, that I was the person that I always wanted to be, and I think the person that God wants me to be, huh?
So it was on the morning of September 11th, 2001, and I was in my office in Roslyn, Virginia. My office overlooked the National Airport all the way over to Georgetown. Just spectacular views from the 22nd floor. But I was on my computer that morning trying to find out what had happened in New York. I'm a banking consultant, and I have a lot of friends that work in the World Trade Center, and I had heard about a plane hitting the building. And the next thing I knew, a ball of fire and smoke was just billowing above the Pentagon. And as I watched this ball of fire and smoke, I just realized that my life was like that. It was just simply in ashes. And as I watched the destruction that was performing, and then I felt the presence of the Lord in my office, and I could not wait to come home to the Father. It was like the prodigal son coming to his senses, and just realizing that it was back with the Father where I needed to be, back into relationship with Him. And I realized that I had abandoned Him. Within a moment, I was in tears. I was praying for the first time. I was truly praying since many years prior, and I was just overwhelmed by the sense of love that was available to me.
So when I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I reflect again what it says in the third chapter of Matthew, that I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire, huh? And I reflect on what fire does. Huh? Fire does, it seems to me, three things in Jesus' time. Illumination, a purification, and protection. That when I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there was an illumination that I saw things more clearly. I saw things the way I didn't see before. I mean, I had this experience of understanding who God was. I saw Jesus for who He was, not for what other people were saying, but I had this profound image of who God is, and I had a better image of who He was. Not this image that I had created Him to be, but who in fact He was. So God illuminated my spiritual life, but I also saw myself. I saw my gifts and my talents. I saw my weakness, my struggles. So the baptism in fire illuminates. The other thing that it does is it purifies. And I experienced this in my life, a real experience of purification, a purification from sin and selfishness and vice and a growth in the fruits of the Spirit, huh? So a turning away from vices and sin and turning to the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit and fire is illumination, it's purification, and the other is protection. Again, if you think of a shepherd with his sheep, that fire would protect against the wolf. The wolf wouldn't come to the fire. So I experienced a greater protection of the Lord, that the evil one tries to tempt me and tries to get to me, but the grace of the Holy Spirit really protects me. So it's this baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of fire that each of us should experience. It's not just for me, it's for everybody. I like to reflect what Pope Benedict said in May of 2008. He says, "Today I would like to extend this invitation to everyone." And I think that's important. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. It's not just for a select few, it's for everyone. "Let us rediscover, dear brothers and sisters, the beauty of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let us be aware of our baptism and of our confirmation, sources of grace that are always present. Let us ask the Virgin Mary to obtain a renewed Pentecost for the Church. Again today, a Pentecost that will spread to everyone the joy of living and witnessing to the gospel." Everybody's invited to this, but the reality is a large population of people have never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember one time I was giving a retreat and this one woman, she jumps up and she says, "Why have I never heard of this? Why has nobody ever told me this, huh?" And that I think that the Holy Father is challenging that, he's encouraging that. Let us rediscover this baptism of the Holy Spirit.
I understood the Holy Spirit as a helper, but I was in a retreat setting and we were really focused on the Holy Spirit. And throughout our retreat, we really called upon the Holy Spirit to be present with us. And we were really encouraged to invite the Holy Spirit in. And so, you know, that was a very intentional focus. And as the retreat went on, we got to the point as a group where we began to talk about being baptized in the Spirit. And I remember very distinctly.
I was baptized as a baby.
Yeah, right. And I remember thinking, baptized in the, what does this mean? Baptized in the Spirit? What are we talking about here? And as the group, as we continued, you know, what I was hearing was this was an opportunity to really invite the Spirit more deeply into your heart, into your being, to really immerse yourself, allow the Spirit to really work within you in a way that maybe you never imagined. And we were really being encouraged to open our heart to this. And I, in that moment, I got a little angry. Mm-hmm. And I was angry not because I was resistant, but I was thinking, why haven't I ever heard of this before? Why don't I know about this? Baptized in the Spirit, where has this been my whole life,
yeah,
right?
That's great, yeah.
And so, you know, and I remember even saying that in the group and saying, why don't I know about this? And my friends in the retreat with me, they said, you know, oh, well, we've learned about this at conferences, or we've learned about this in other places, or we've read books. And that's wonderful. And I feel really blessed that I was a part of that experience. But a part of me was like, why didn't I get this just in my parish community? Mm-hmm. I've been a faithful Catholic. You know, I've only missed Mass a few times in my life, you know, and I've never heard of this. And so I felt like I missed out.
One of the things that I reflect on is a line from St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas was raising the question. He was saying, how is it possible that somebody could be baptized, confirmed, receive Eucharist, and not living a dynamic life of faith? How is that possible? Well, he would say that there would be a number of reasons. A person could lack faith, they could lack knowledge of the faith, they could be in sin, they could be trapped to fear. So there could be a lot of reasons why a person could receive the sacraments but not living a dynamic life of faith. So St. Thomas Aquinas would go on to say, he would say that what the individual has experienced is they've experienced the sacraments validly, but the grace of that sacrament is dormant or it's asleep. And St. Thomas Aquinas would say that there needs to be a second sending or a resending that awakens or releases, is the language he uses, this grace that was given to us at baptism or confirmation or every time we go to Mass. This resending, I think, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we experience the grace of the Holy Spirit, the grace that was given to us at baptism and confirmation awakens, and our life is changed once again with this resending of the Holy Spirit.
To be filled with the Holy Spirit is for everyone baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's God's plan. You know, He wants us to be filled. So it's not limited to a few people. It's not limited to a movement. It's, in fact, it's the call of the church is filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the church is baptized in the Holy Spirit in a sense, because you cannot have the life of God unless you have the life of the Spirit.
So when the sending of the Holy Spirit or this baptism of the Holy Spirit happens, there are several kind of common elements or common things that a person experiences. So a couple of those are, first off, that's already been mentioned, an experience of God's love, that we come to understand more fully that God is love and that God loves us, that His love is personal, that His love is unconditional. So we have a deep experience of His love. But we also experience a peace. In the midst of confusion or frustration or whatever, God's peace is present to us. Another common experience is a greater understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, that Jesus gave His life for me, that Jesus suffered on the cross for me, that Jesus rose from the dead for me, that Jesus sent His Holy Spirit upon me, so that we have a greater understanding and a greater revelation of Christ. We experience a greater power in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit wants to come and He wants to give us power, power over fear, power over sin, power over the past, power over struggle, that we experience power in the spiritual life. Another thing that we experience is a greater fruit of the Holy Spirit, that there's greater joy in our life, there's more love, there's more peace, there's more patience. The Holy Spirit brings all of this and really awakens in us the spiritual life from the grace that was given to us at baptism and confirmation. Another experience that the Holy Spirit provides is a desire to share that, is that we experience God and we just want to tell other people. There's this sense of mission that each one of us receives, a mission to share the faith, a mission for works of mercy, mission to feed the poor, just that we realize that the spiritual life, what Jesus has done for us, what the Holy Spirit has done for us, is bigger than ourselves, and we want to be able to go and share that with other people. I remember a bishop I met one time in Africa, and he was just talking to me about the importance of baptism in the Holy Spirit that really awakens our faith. And he said several things about that. He said that so many people are stuck in their faith and there's no sense of movement, there's no sense of life, and they need to be experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just something that happens once, huh? I've experienced the Holy Spirit time and time again in my life. As I shared that experience as a five-year-old, I think that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know it at the time, but I think that's what happened. The other cool thing that this bishop said to me is he said, Father, I won't allow priests to be ordained unless they've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He went on to say, why would I ask them to do the work of Jesus if they didn't have the power of Jesus? And I think that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It was for me, I think it is for the church. It's the power of Jesus. It's making the presence of Jesus alive in our spiritual life. It's making the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit Himself, present in my life. So here's my encouragement for you. Maybe take a look at that text from the third chapter of Matthew and just pray about that. I've come to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire, and just pray about that. What does that look like in your life? Take a few minutes just to be quiet and still and pray with that. Also, take a look at the first couple of chapters of the Acts of the Apostles again, where the apostles and Mary experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. They experienced the Pentecost, huh? And just pray with that. Maybe pray that you would experience that yourself. Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Just make that simple prayer like I prayed years ago, huh? Lord, I don't know exactly what this is about. I don't know exactly what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, but if you want this for me, then I want it. And I'm pretty sure that the Lord does want that for us. He wants it for all of us. So let's pray. Jesus, we pray that you would come with your Holy Spirit, that you would come with fire, that your Holy Spirit would fill our hearts, that you would purify our heart, that you would illuminate our mind, that we could see you for who you are, Lord. By the power of your Holy Spirit, transform us and renew us. Jesus, fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us your very presence, your peace, your love, your protection. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and awaken the gifts of the Holy Spirit that was given to us at baptism. Stir in us your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Renew in us the power of your Holy Spirit as if by a new Pentecost. Jesus, as Pope Benedict prayed that you would come with a new Pentecost, with a baptism of the Holy Spirit, bring that upon your people. Bring that upon me. Bring that upon your church. the male, may God pour out his Holy Spirit upon you, fill you with his Holy Spirit, his power and his grace. May God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Okay, so as that comes towards to an end, I'm actually not 100% sure whether we've actually really come to terms with what it is that we've been given in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I know that in this very room, the church is absolutely blessed because you have been baptized in the Spirit. I know that. Amazing things are happening in your life and the life of the person that's sitting next to you. Some are doing incredible mission-type work. Others are building families that are centered on God. Others are studying in a way that fellow students are saying to them, there's something unique about you, something different about you. And I wonder, just as we look in this room at the gift of each other, and let's not forget, we have Vanessa in London. We have Lionel also in London, both on mission. We have Sam and we have Sarah, both in Sydney, I think. Is that right? Sydney and Melbourne, on mission. We have young people who are running youth groups around Perth that wouldn't exist if the baptism of the Holy Spirit hadn't touched their lives. We have lecturers in this room who are speaking into lives of young people. If the baptism of the Holy Spirit had not been granted to you, none of that would happen. Yesterday, for those of us who were at the wedding of Joel and Sarah, there was a church that was jam-packed. One person came up to me after Mass and they said to me, if only my church here, that was at City Beach, was like this every Sunday. And the majority of those people at that ceremony were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I'm encouraging you now to think, God has not given you and me the baptism of the Spirit to keep to ourselves. We know that. We know that to build the kingdom of God here on this earth, here in this city, we actually have to share the baptism in the Spirit. We have to do it. We don't know what God is going to do in a person that we share the baptism of the Holy Spirit with. We don't know what they're going to do for the kingdom of God. But what I can guarantee you is that you'll be blown away by what that person will do. I sat here this afternoon and I looked at the young guys playing music. That includes Michael Ratcliffe, young guys playing music. And I was thinking to myself, gosh, we are blessed. Do you know that we've got two of the Catholic schools at the moment who have asked our young people who are playing over there to actually play at their opening masses, for their school community. How come? Because something about them being baptized in the Spirit makes them unique. You know that. We see it every week. So I'm going to ask you to take one card. There's going to be a card passed around. I just want you to take one. Yep, so half that way and half that way. So take one card each. Now that one card that you are taking is precious. It's Lord of the Rings precious. The reason it's so precious is because that card is going to change someone's life and is going to build the kingdom of God in ways that we can't imagine. But what you have to do with that card is not like in the Lord of the Rings, keep it to yourself. You have to pray about who does God want you to give that card to. Someone with good eyesight would be helpful too, yes. That's right. All right. Maybe they need healing. All right. Who does God want you to give that card to? Now, here's the trick, though. Here's the trick with it. If you give that card to someone, you can't just say to them, oh, here, this will be good for you. Take it. What you actually have to do is you have to say to them, I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to walk you through being baptized in the Spirit. You can count on me because I'm going to share the gift of baptism in the Spirit with you. You're not leaving that to anybody else to do. You are going to share the gift of the baptism of the Spirit with someone. And you're going to walk them through. You're going to change their life. And you're going to help them build the kingdom of God in ways that we cannot imagine. So, Lord God, we just pray right now that as we take this card, that we're not just going to put it in our pocket or in our handbag and forget about it. Lord, last week, Michael encouraged us to pray for our nation. We're going to start that in the same week that the Life in the Spirit seminar begins. Lord, I'm going to put into action praying for our nation. I'm going to change the life of one person. Lord, place upon my heart who I'm going to give this precious gift to. And let me pray for them each day so that they may be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.